welcome. You are here with Dr. Nilda Perez with Business Foresight, creating strategies towards your extraordinary future.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Dr. Nilda Business Foresight Show. And today I have with me my guest, Dr. Anne Marie Fontanez, and my co-host, Rachel Calderon. Thank you for being here with me today.
Thank you for having me again.
Okay, awesome. So I want to tell you about Dr. Anne Marie. Dr. Anne Marie is the CEO of Genesis Divine Health, Inc. It's a company that concentrates on health and wellness, and it focuses on disease control, primarily things such as cancer and Alzheimer. She helps people navigate and take control of their own lives by offering various solutions towards their health and wellness with holistic alternative medicine. Dr. Anne Marie is trained by an oncologist in the Rosalita University, and she has earned her degree in holistic health, and she is a holistic health practitioner. She has dedicated her life to assisting those who want alternative ways to heal and find recovery with natural resources, natural medical resources. But she is also combined spirituality, the spiritual component to holistic medicine. She has a doctorate in ministry and is the CEO also of Anne Marie Fontanez Global Ministries. And she has also earned a PhD in theology. So this has qualified her to incorporate the spiritual ingredient of healing with holistic health. And welcome. I am so excited to have you here.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here with you guys.
So, you know, we've talked all about health and all about being healthier. I wanted to explain holistic wellness because most of us think that if we go to the health food store, and I'm one of those people, I always thought if I went to the health food stores and if I ate, you know, a few things that were organic, I was on that healthy path. And you have a different, I want to say, belief or a more profound belief about what health and wellness is. Please explain.
Health and wellness has to do, first of all, with a pure mindset. So we have always been instructed to follow your doctor's orders at all times. And doctors basically will give you medication based on your illness to take care of symptoms. But holistic approach and wellness has a lot to do with discovering the natural aspects of the body, because the body can only recover through natural resources because it was already created and generated to be natural.
I like that. So, is it really possible though to control disease?
100%. Disease is something that will happen to us through our lifetime, mm-hmm. whether you're younger or older. But the moment that you know that there is a possibility of you having any type of disease simply because of the lifestyles that you live, if a person that smokes a lot will then get prepared because cancer may come. So if you already are aware of the things that can happen to your body, then you can prepare yourself to avoid it from happening. And it has to do everything about, yes, what you consume, what you eat. You really are what you eat.
So, Anne Marie, can you tell me about various solutions? I know that you have helped me in some of my health issues that I've had with my menstrual and also my weight loss. And a couple of other things that we have also discussed. So please explain.
On a personal note, I am a cancer survivor. I am a breast cancer survivor. I was diagnosed in 2003, and it frightened me to discover that something like that could attack my body, because I know that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, so I'm wondering why in the world would this come and attack my body. So when I was diagnosed, my doctor told me what they were going to do, and one of the things was the mastectomy was in place for the recovery, and of course having radiation and chemotherapy. That alone caused me to be so fearful of that, because I know how I'm made. So I discovered that there were other ways for me to approach this cancer. So to make a long story very short, I decided to take the holistic approach, and I began to learn about this holistic approach, and I realized that there are people that were getting healed all over the world by this approach. So I began to study it and study it and study it until I found a way to be able to have some of that treatment. And I did exactly that. So I underwent IPT, which is infusion potentiation therapy, and that is a protocol that is utilized to destroy cancer cells that are on the surface level for cancer. I also underwent hyperthermia, which is pretty much a heating lamp, so to speak. And that heating lamp begins to destroy breast cancer cells and breast cancer tumors from the inside out. And eventually, in my case, in my personal experience, those tumors that were there began to dissipate. And there were many different types of protocols that I took. It was about 13 or 14 every day. At the end of 2 weeks, I was cancer-free.
That's interesting. Can I ask you another question? I know that my dad was also a cancer survivor. I know that one of the things he did was not only take a lot of holistic medicines, but he also changed his diet. Is that something that you also did during your path of this holistic?
100%, yes. The hospital in itself had a whole nutritional component that you had to learn how to live if you were going to live. So they trained you what to eat, what not to eat. Oftentimes we think that what we're eating is healthy foods, like you were saying. We go to places and we get this and we get that, and what you're doing is that you're creating more toxic into your body because you don't know what one product is doing against the other. It's like if you take a vitamin C and a vitamin D and a vitamin whatever, you don't know how those vitamins are coming against the very things that you're eating.
And now that it's so chemically based, a lot of our foods here in America, you would say that that probably counteracts.
Absolutely. And the fact that if something that you're going to go eat, it says that it's organic, it doesn't necessarily have to be organic. So you're really challenging your own perspective as to what's good for you. So you have to understand really what eating wholesome really is. And it's a very basic diet. When you put your plate together to eat, there has to be a protein there, and your plate has to be colorful. If it's not colorful, don't eat it.
I learned by watching the documentary, and I love documentaries, and I watched What the Health. And What the Health explained that everything that we may think is protein is not necessarily protein.
Exactly.
So, and the thing is that in the United States, we really have to be very careful about what we're eating, and we really have to look very closely at what we're eating. But we oftentimes, I hate to say this, but we really don't know.
You don't know. And I give you an example. People that eat meat, okay? So people that eat meat, I'm going to show you how a holistic-minded individual like myself sees this, and others like myself. If you eat meat, a trainer that's going to train a lion, the first thing he does is he takes away his meat.
Yeah.
Because if he takes away his meat, he can tame the animal. So what does he give him? He gives him fruits and vegetables for the time frame of the training.
Right.
Once that training is finished, he goes back onto the meat. Why? Because the meat makes him angry. The meat makes him unstable. The meat makes him anxious. This is what meat does to us.
Really?
Because if something is dead, how in the world are you expecting it to give you life?
And that's what meat is.
Meat is something that's dead. So how in the world do we expect it to give us any kind of life? That's what greens, and as green as possible. That's what's fresh. That's what's healthy. That's what's going to give you the enzymes and the omegas and everything that you need in your body. But if you eat something that is dead, it's only going to cause what to your body? It's going to kill it.
Right. I never thought of it that way. That's fascinating. Never thought of that, because meat is so much a part of the American meal. You know, so I never even imagined that. And it makes sense. So even training an animal, they take that away from them.
When God took away meat from us, and then later on, as we know, he gave it back to us, right?
Right.
That was only supposed to be temporarily, because everything had been destroyed. So he had to give them something to nourish them until gravitations came back, until vegetations came back. But it was only supposed to be temporarily.
And that was Noah.
So okay. So now it became a habitual undertaking. that now they couldn't live without me. But it was supposed to be a temporal thing, not for it to get to us at this day.
Wow. Hmm. Wow.
That's interesting. That's very interesting. Because I know that, you know, I'm not I wouldn't say that I don't eat meats. And I've tried to watch the meats that I've eaten. And I steer away. I notice even my body kind of does not like red meats. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even if I try any kind of meat, I try to keep it really, really, even smaller than the palm of my hand. At this point in my life, that's kind of like where I'm at. So is that something you suggest if they do? What kind of meats would you suggest if they're like meat lovers or if they cannot?
None.
No meat.
Absolutely none. A person that has arthritis, for example, if you take meat, if you stop eating beef, lamb, pork, meat has a certain acid that is based, this acid that is based in every meat.
Okay.
So the acid becomes a negative component to your own body, which causes your bones to dry up and your bones to become brittle. So if you remove meat from your diet, eventually selecting a better diet mm-hmm. will give you a regeneration of your bone structure. And at least you won't have the pain of arthritis.
You know, most of us think that we take the right vitamins, which are supplements, that we're good. But you're talking about reversal. But you also talk about reversal in terms of Alzheimer's. As far as I know, everything that I know, my grandmother suffered from Alzheimer's. And as far as I know, Alzheimer's is something, A, that cannot be reversed, B, that is hereditary. That's what I've known it to be, you know, all of my life. So,
well, that's because the medical associations and the medical doctors have already put that into your mind that is not reversible, that is genetic, and all of these things. So that's what you know. So you function like a robot under those types of things that they have already instructed to you. But the truth of the matter is that Alzheimer's is an overload of protein in your brain.
Really?
It's an overload of protein in your brain. And because the mitochondria in the brain become stalemated, they become frozen, they become inactive. It happens when a person that has a stroke or a person that is just progressively going into dementia. What happens is that these cells begin to deplete. But just because they're depleting doesn't mean that you can't do something to reverse it. If you detox your body, because you need to detox your body
okay.
of impurities and toxins,
okay.
then how about going and doing the same thing for your brain? Detox your brain. So people don't think about detoxing the brain because it doesn't even make any sense. But there's so many different ways, medically, scientifically, that I use for my patients to detox the brain. I'm right now assisting an older couple that has dementia.
Both.
They have dementia. And one of the first things that I put him on was to go into the hyperbaric oxygen chambers. Because oxygen is needed for the brain to be able to function.
Right.
If you don't have any oxygen in your brain,
right.
your mind will deplete.
Right. Wow.
So something as simple as oxygen.
The right oxygen. Can begin the right oxygen.
Can
begin
the reversal.
You can not only is hyperbaric chamber for Alzheimer's, but it cures it. That was one of the therapies that I undertook, and it cures cancer.
Okay. So is it that we don't have the right oxygen in our body? We don't have enough oxygen?
As you get older, you receive less oxygen in your system. And your cells cannot seem to accumulate or keep as much. So you have to, somewhere along the line, you have to improvise that when disease and sickness has come into place. So prevention from cancer, for example, take oxygen into your body, because the reason that you have a cancer cell that becomes active is because it doesn't have any kind of oxygen.
Okay.
Because everybody has cancerous cells in the body.
Okay.
But the moment that cell lacks the oxygen, it becomes cancerous.
Because my dad had cancer, and that was in 1973. My dad had cancer. And he was a Seventh-day Adventist, and Seventh-day Adventists are very health conscious.
Yes, they are.
Very health conscious. They are also very careful about what they eat, their intake, mm-hmm. how much, mm-hmm. The times that they eat.
Yes.
My dad was, we used to laugh at him, when we were kids, of course. And we used to laugh at him because at 12 o'clock he had to have lunch. Mm-hmm. So we used to laugh. We're like, you know, Dad, are you hungry or is it 12? And he was like, no, it's 12. I have to eat. It's 12. And so, you know, 12, I don't remember if it was 12 or 12:30, but that was the time that he had to eat. And he was very conscious about eating at a certain time, eating a certain thing. So in that, they gave my dad 6 months to live. Mm-hmm. And my dad lasted almost 28 years after diagnosis with no chemotherapy. Mm-hmm. He refused chemotherapy. He refused radiation. He changed his diet. And honestly, for many, many years after, I never understood how he did it. Even though he told us what he did, but didn't understand it. So,
but he had a knowledge that most people do not have, which is you have to take control over your own life and over your own body. When your doctor tells you you have cancer, okay, don't receive the report, of course, but okay, so instead of saying I have cancer, I have a situation here, and I need to pay attention to this situation, and I got to figure out how I'm going to get out of this one. If you have been diagnosed with cholesterol, high cholesterol, today, cholesterol, the total cholesterol is 200, but guess what's going on? The pharmaceutical companies, now they keep lowering the cholesterol total so that they can sell their medications.
Right.
Back in the day, you know, 270 was good. But now you are at 160, at 150, and they want to put you on medication. But that's because it's a pharmaceutical greed intake. It has nothing to do with your body. A person that is older, for example, and I get this question all the time.
Like my mom.
If my mm-hmm. mom is 80 years old, she can't have a 120-80. If mm-hmm. she has a 140, 150, 90, she's perfect. Why are you putting her on medication? She could be 160, 100. Why are you putting her medication?
Okay, which is what they've done with our mom, right?
Right, and yeah. And the thing is that she had a reaction to that.
She will.
To the medication. She had a reaction. And this is a woman who, she's 85, and she is strong as an ox. I mean, granted, with, you know, at this point, with a few little limitations, but she very rarely gets sick. She does not get any kind of... Anything. She's stronger than us sometimes.
Yeah.
And she will continue to be that way. The moment you start putting medication into the body, understand something here, that medication was never created to heal any disease. This is why today they can only tap into the symptoms. They can only control the symptoms. One, they don't want to fix the problem because it's too expensive. And two, they don't have the time. You got 7 minutes, 9 minutes in this doctor's office. He's got to do what he's got to do with you, give you the medication he's got to give you in 7 minutes. Wow. I only have time to prescribe to you what the insurance company told me that I have to subscribe for you, and I have to do 100 of these, so you're my number 78. I still got more to go. There's no time. The doctors don't have no time. And it's not, I can't say it's all their fault. They're pressured.
They're pressured, that's true. But I'm also, I know it from the other side because I came from healthcare as a therapist. I worked in a hospital, in a mental health hospital. And I saw how shamelessly these pharmaceuticals court the doctors.
Of course.
And all of a sudden, everybody's on the same medication.
Yes.
And I in the beginning, I couldn't understand it. But then when I realized what they were doing to court these doctors, it's like dating, and it was shameless, and it was horrible. And suddenly everybody's on the same medication, but that medication also had side effects, and then they were giving them more medication, different medications for the side effects. Everybody was on the same medication. Everybody had the same side effect. Everybody, and there was no real control. Being in a hospital, what people usually rely the doctor, and that was horrific. So I've been on both sides of this. I've seen my dad mm-hmm. heal himself, you mm-hmm. know, with foods and healthy eating and the right supplementation. And I've been on that other side where doctors have just been, you know, giving medication. And it's basically because it pays off for them.
Well, it's a mandate for them. This is a mandate. They have to do that. They have to do that. And oftentimes, they don't know the holistic or the alternative side. One, by choice. Two, they think that we're crazy. They think that we don't make any sense. So they have no understanding and no knowledge, or they're not educated in this field. So because they're not educated in this field, you can't expect for them to give you something that they don't know.
But that's crazy, because even my son had gotten into a car accident and his car was totaled, so he went in for some neck, you know, injuries. And the first thing they wanted to introduce to him was Codeine. And I was pretty like, I'm like, okay, why aren't you doing therapy? Why are you prescribing him? Oh, because he's in pain. And I'm like,
the symptom, you see, it's the symptom.
I'm like, but that just, you know, let's do some exercises. I know I had some arm issues and I was doing some weightlifting, and they got healed just by, without any kind of medication, without any kind of, just doing the normal, you know, stretches. Why would they prescribe something that's not needed?
And they know that it's not needed. To go back a little bit, when I was diagnosed with cancer and I said I did what I had to do, and I took a different approach, and I did leave the country to get that medication that I needed. And when I returned, I went back to my doctor, and he told me, I am so glad that you did what you did, because I couldn't tell you to do that. He said, but I'll tell you this, I just came back from bringing my mom to a cancer clinic outside of the country, because I know that that treatment works, but I couldn't tell you.
Wow.
So I said, so you would have let me die? He said, I'm sorry, I could lose my license, I couldn't tell you.
Wow.
And that's their position. That's
some pressure.
It's pressure, yes. Because they can't give you. I mean, most of these doctors, that their mom gets cancer and their dad gets cancer or has some, you know, devastating disease, if they can get them out of here, they will, because they know that what they're doing is limited. It's just limited. And the reason that your son was getting the medication is because that's all they have the time for, you see.
Well, he actually, I in fact opted not to take it at all.
Right.
Because I knew that medication was A, addictive.
It's
B,
addictive.
It's
not going to happen.
That was
so
not going to happen.
Smart,
right.
See, a person needs to know, every medication has an addiction, one way or the other. They'll tell you no, again, because medication wasn't created for that. It wasn't created to fix anything.
Okay.
Never to fix anything.
It's always to mask.
It's just to mask,
to mask
the symptom. That's all it is. The same thing with chemotherapy. Chemotherapy is a horrific treatment, because chemotherapy causes cancer. It's very toxic.
Okay.
And it's so toxic that it paralyzes a person's abdomen. It paralyzes a person's mind. It paralyzes a person. This is where sometimes you see these people that have taken chemotherapy and they're, you know, all crunched up on the couch because of the agony in their stomach, because of their head, because this thing is killing them.
Right.
And oftentimes when a person dies in a hospital that has had cancer, they say that they died from the cancer. They did not die from the cancer. They died from the therapy.
From the therapy. Yes. Absolutely.
It's from the therapy.
Absolutely.
And that's the way it is. So because it's so toxic, we have to make the better choices. And whoever has gotten cancer, any kind of, you know, disease, that research it for yourself. Be your first advocate. Introduce yourself to a different world that does exist, that is able to help you, that is able to allow you to survive.
Right.
But you got to be smart about yourself. And everything your doctor tells you, yeah, okay, do what he tells you to do. I'm not going to tell you not to. But you need to be smart, and you need to be your first advocate.
Right. So, and that's where you come in, with teaching people how to take control of their body, take control of their healing and the healing process and the things that they can do. So, and I just think that that's admirable. I love it, because I have to tell you, I am so against medication. Part of it, you don't realize it, but when we were children, my dad really, really like instilled, like, what are you taking? Why are you taking that? What, you know, even an aspirin, he had a problem with that. And You know, and it's amazing because at the time we were kids and we'd make fun and we'd, you know. But my dad was very, very health conscious and everything he did made sense. Now that we're older, it makes, every day it makes better sense to us. Mm-hmm. And I saw the way that he changed it. Now, there's something else that he did because he was also a very spiritual man that I know that you incorporate into what you do. I want you to tell me how you incorporate the spiritual factor, what exactly the spiritual component to what you do is, and talk to me about that.
Well, to put these two together, spiritual and natural, there first has to be an awareness within our own spirit that is called belief. If we believe that God is all powerful, then he created every power for you to have access to that. So when he gives us all the resources to be able to bring health into our bodies, mm-hmm. and you understand that believing in this that God created for your life, and you believe that this component of whatever it is that you're hopefully researching, so you know that man made nothing in this life or this world. Everything that we come across in our lives, God created. So it is God the one that instituted in us and allowed us to have this witnessing that I want to be a doctor, that I want to be an engineer, that I want, God created all these things. Okay. So when God created all these abilities in the spiritual for us, so we have to recognize that God is a God that caused us to believe. Remember that even Abraham said, God, allow me to believe, cause me to believe, right? So we are on those levels. So the key to marrying the spiritual with the natural is really to believe that these resources are made for you. They have been available to you. The question is, how do I take this natural stuff and put it together with what I already believe? And if you put them together, then that means that you're going to be believing in the thing that you did not think you could.
Okay.
So when you're addressing it together, you are more powerful, not only in knowledge, but in spirituality, because God caused all things to work together for good, for those that love him and according to his purpose. So it is God who instructed you to pick up this and say, oh, gee. Why? Because the Spirit is saying to you, you need that.
Okay.
But you need the right stuff.
Okay.
Not everything you pick up is the good stuff.
Okay. So you're saying, just hypothetically, if I decided, you know, to go the natural route, I'm sick and I decided to go the natural route, there's a part of me that has to believe in what I'm doing. It's not just doing it.
You have, to believe that it's going to work. You have to believe that your faith level has to be so pronounced. So pronounced. Okay. When my diagnosis came, I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, if you don't save me, I'm going to die. I trust that you can get me out of this condition. Lord, show me the way. I will do whatever you tell me to do. I said, Lord, you need to fix this. But don't give me 15 years like you did with Hezekiah. Give me a platform that I can utilize this experience to help people. When I got to the hospital, this man, Catholic believer, said to me, you did not come here to die. Make sure that your faith is intact if you want to survive this.
Wow.
Because it's your belief in your faith that's going to cross you over. So I had to see the other side of broken so that I understood where I was going.
Was that not daddy?
That was.
That was my dad. My dad would not, he told the doctor.
I want to thank you for being with us on Business Foresight, always creating strategies towards an extraordinary future. Remember, I'm here with you with strategies every Saturday. I'll see you next week.